When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, after all months of talk, we are finally at the point where the NBA media rights situation will finally be determined one way or the other. The league's board of governors on Tuesday approving the league's new deals with Disney, Amazon, and Comcast. And now, as of Wednesday morning when we're taping, it is time for Warner Brothers Discovery to decide whether or not it is going to match. It looks like it'll be Amazon that they'll be matching to try to retain their package. So, a lot of interesting stuff going on that front. This is the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, joined as always by Drew Lerner. Please subscribe to the SMW podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, and more. Let's keep talking about this NBA media rights scenario. Tom Friend of Sports Business Journal reporting what really has been a foregone conclusion now for quite some time. Warner Brothers Discovery will be attempting to match Amazon's $1.8 billion a year bid for the NBA C package. Now, that is a new package of games, the third package, that really from the beginning of this negotiation, the perception has been that Warner Brothers Discovery could not match that package, because obviously you would think you could only match what you already have. This is an entirely new package of games, but WBD has been arguing, or at least that's what the reporting indicates, that its matching rights pertain to any third-party bid, even for a new package that, you know, thus far has not existed. If WBD is successful, it would acquire the NBA in-season tournament. It would get a conference final every other year. You know, this is a significant amount of rights that Amazon is trying to get. For the NBA, obviously, you prefer Amazon to WBD because, well, how is WBD going to match? Amazon is the streaming service, even if a lot of people may not realize that they have Prime Video, it is the streaming service with the most subscribers. It is obviously one that has proven itself via Thursday Night Football. Warner Brothers Discovery cannot match Amazon's reach with Max. It just can't. Max is not at that level. And beyond that, let's be real. In 20 years, Prime will exist. Maybe Prime Video won't, but Amazon Prime will. And there's a decent shot that if Prime exists, Prime Video will exist. I have no idea if Max is going to exist. I don't really know if WBD is going to exist for that length of time. What the NBA is looking for is the certainty of a partner that is rock solid. WBD is not rock solid. Not at all. And certainly Max, which is on its 14th different name at this point, is also not rock solid. So obviously the league wants the stability of Amazon, the reach of Amazon. Max has neither. And then, of course, if it's Max with the game simulcast on TNT, then it's basically just the status quo. But with it being called the NBA on Max and it just airing on TNT anyway, to me, it'll be like when ESPN was airing the baseball playoff games on ABC Family, but with ESPN graphics and announcers, basically. I don't think the NBA wants that, obviously. And I think the league is going to fight to get off of the sinking ship that it believes WBD to be and get on with the wave of the future, which is at least seemingly Amazon. Drew, I'll bring you in on that note.
Yeah, obviously a lot to cover here. But I think the crux of the issue, like you were saying, is the stability aspect, right? Amazon, clearly a company that's going to be around for the long haul. Warner Brothers Discovery, I believe Tom Friend cited in his piece, you know, $40 billion in debt. They're valued at around $17 billion. Very much a sinking ship. They just laid off about 1,000 employees just yesterday. I think that is going to be the heart of the NBA's argument here. You know, we're sitting here, John. We've never seen these contracts before. We don't know exactly what these matching rights entail. What kind of legalese is binding versus what can be kind of stretched a little bit, right? It's going to be very interesting to see the details of the reporting that come out, you know, in the coming weeks surrounding what Warner Brothers Discovery's argument to match is going to be, right? Warner Brothers Discovery, they can argue on paper that, you know, they have a comparable subscriber base to Amazon. It's 100 million for Max versus 200 million subscribers for Prime. It'll be interesting to see if that is, you know, an appreciable difference in a court of law, that, you know, the NBA can argue, hey, Amazon Prime, they have double the amount of subscribers, double the reach. Max cannot match that. Is that a viable legal argument for the NBA? It'll be very interesting to see if that plays out like that.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately the other aspect is if these are being simulcast on TNT, then it's still basic cable, right? You can't have your cake and eat it too. It's a streaming contract. The NBA went into this specifically wanting a streaming partner, right? The other aspect too, this does affect the league's other deals. I mean, I don't know if Comcast would be able to admit it, but obviously there's got to be some element of Comcast wanting to hurt TNT, which would help justify the tremendous overpay. So you don't get any benefit from that if TNT is airing games anyway, and it just happens to have the Max logo instead of the TNT logo. So, you know, a match means a match. This is a streaming deal. The you know, having the games air on cable anyway doesn't make sense. And of course, if you're WBD and the games don't air on cable, then it also doesn't make sense because you're not going to make up with Max subscriptions, but you lose with TNT not being able to have the same pull with distributors that it's had. So it's, you know, I don't know how they're going to pull it off. I don't think they have a legal leg to stand on, but I don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, Tom Friend mentioned in his article Wednesday morning that it's possible that this could be, you know, settled with a cash settlement to WBD to kind of just make this go away. You have to wonder, is that really the end goal here for WBD? Do they actually see retaining the NBA rights as realistic? Because, of course, you know, the other option, if they weren't to take Amazon's entire package, which I think most would agree is very unlikely, is that a fourth package of games is carved out for them. And the reporting has indicated, you know, over the last month or so, that is unlikely. The NBA is not a fan of that plan. So unless there's a fourth package added, it is likely that, you know, maybe WBD's strategy here is just to try to extract as much cash as they can out of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that a fourth package or even something where Amazon and TNT kind of worked together and TNT got some games out of it, I think that would make a lot more sense if it didn't impact Comcast or ESPN. Right. So to me, I think it's increasingly clear based on the reporting that I've read that, you know, Comcast wants TNT out. And I think maybe even ESPN might be, you know, thinking it advantageous to be the only cable network with NBA games. So, I mean, if that was not an element of it, I would think, okay, just have Amazon give. They have what, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights? Let them give their Friday games to TNT, you know, let them have simulcast of Friday games. I mean, something like that, which would be mutually beneficial because then Amazon could say, well, let us have, you know, Ernie Kenny and I guess just Shaq, Charles is really serious about retiring. Let us have the inside guys we'll give you a Friday night simulcast every week of the season. But again, there's other considerations at play. So I don't know how it's going to work. Personally, I don't really think that Warner Brothers Discovery has been all that serious this whole time. This has not seemed like a serious way of going about one's business. It's all been kind of, well, what if we did this? What about that? You know, it doesn't really seem like they have any genuine, you know, I do think maybe they are just going after the cash.
Yeah. And you have to imagine, John, I mean, just look at what they've done in the past couple months, acquiring all of these other rights. The college football playoff, NASCAR. Of course, the NASCAR deal was a year or so ago. But, you know, the French Open, you know, they're trying to acquire as much as possible to fill the void, the Big East as well. So I don't think they are actually planning on winning any NBA games back. It does seem a bit pie in the sky. But, you know, the reality is they have a legal argument here. And I guess at this point, why wouldn't you pursue it with the goal of, you know, extracting a little bit of cash from the league on your way out?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's kind of where I'm thinking on that front. And as far as the NBA goes, I know the number appears to be slightly different. $74.6 billion was what was reported in the article that Adrian Wojnarowski wrote on ESPN about James Dolan's opposition to the deal. Not sure if that number came from Dolan's letter or if that's something that Wojnarowski has found. Doesn't make a difference. But
And then, you know, Tom Friend actually said it could be as high as $77 billion.
Really?
Yes, in his new piece. So we have a small little range here between 74.6 and 77 billion. You know, maybe the extra billion or two can be what Warner Brothers Discovery ends up getting out of all this.
Right. Yeah, well, maybe. Interestingly enough, in this Tom Friend article, cable television was never even mentioned during the Board of Governors meeting. That's fascinating. I mean, look, ESPN is cable, but ESPN is the only cable network that transcends cable. It's cable, but it's not really cable. It's its own brand. Ultimately, you know, I don't even know that in the next deal, maybe ESPN is just ESPN Plus, because that's the other thing. A lot of those ESPN games, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of them are going to be on ESPN Plus. I'm very intrigued by what's going to happen here. Friend also reporting that NBA TV could be moved back under the NBA's auspices. But apparently Adam Silver has no idea what will become of the network. So, yeah, no, probably not going to be at Techwood Drive anymore, though. I can take a wild guess about that. Another aspect of the NBA rights that has come up, obviously, is the WNBA. We know the WNBA's viewership is growing, and, you know, it's skyrocketing, right? Now, it's still not, you know, at the level of the NBA consistently, but, I mean, it's not that far off. So ESPN's WNBA coverage this year, including ABC, is averaging 1.2 million viewers. ESPN's NBA coverage during the regular season, including ABC, averaged 1.7 million. That is a shockingly small gap. And, you know, it's obviously fewer games, 19 games versus, I think, 100 for the NBA. But so obviously when it's fewer games, you can pick your spots. But pretty amazing, that small gap between the NBA and WNBA and ESPN. By the way, ESPN's MLB coverage this year, I think, is maybe 1.58 million, I think. All of these numbers are up. Again, the WNBA is right there with these, you know, major leagues. WNBA in this next deal with the across the board, according to Mike Vorknerov, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, of The Athletic, the WNBA is going to be making $200 million a year just off of the NBA TV deal. And then maybe as much as $60 million per year additional through other deals the league can reach, which is kind of a bargain. It sounds like a lot. It's like, whoa, WNBA, wow. And it's, yes, for last year's WNBA, that is a huge amount of money. For the present day WNBA and the potential of what the WNBA can be down the line, I think you could come back in about 5, 6, 7, 8 years and people are going to be raising hell over how little money the WNBA is making. You know, you can already see the socially conscious blog articles railing against how little money the league's going to be making, because 11 years, you're going to lock yourself into 11 years at $200 million? That's nothing. The NHL did that. The NHL did exactly that. They were so desperate for TV money coming off of the Versus era that they signed with NBC for $200 million a year for like a decade. And it was a terrible deal by the end. It was a major bargain for NBC by the end. So I don't know about that.
Yeah, that is a little surprising to me. They do have the rights to sell an additional two packages outside of the NBA partners. So you'd have to think that Ion will be a player in that. I believe John Oren reported that last month. And then, you know, CBS also has a package of WNBA games. So right now, I believe between those two, they could earn around an additional $60 million per year. But you know, by the end of this contract, you know, maybe those two packages are even exceeding what they're getting from the built-in rights fee in the NBA deal.
You know, I don't know if this makes any sense at all, if it's just total speculation pie in the sky. But if I'm trying to resolve the WBD situation, WNBA could be, you know, one of those extra WNBA packages would be a good place to start. You know, WBD clearly doesn't care what it airs. It just wants to be able to go to distributors and say, look at all the stuff we have. WNBA, obviously, right now, is doing really well. I mean, it's doing objectively well. You know, I don't know if USA basketball rights are sold by the NBA. I don't think they are. But when you watch the USA basketball games, the NBA copyright disclaimer is playing on those games. So I think the NBA must have some involvement in the production of those games. And if so, if USA Basketball is also part of it, that would be another really good thing for WBD to get its hands on. Maybe some of that ancillary stuff that the league isn't currently selling. So one of those extra WNBA packages, USA Basketball, if that happens to be something the league has any control over. You know, Summer League is probably included in this package, honestly. So I doubt, and I, you know, Summer League's more of a fun thing for the league than an actual property that draws well. But there's this ancillary stuff that the league could set aside. You know, I don't know if that would satisfy WBD, but if you're talking about a settlement, maybe instead of a financial settlement, maybe it's some extra rights around the margins.
Yeah, that's a pretty creative solution to this, John, because, you know, they have, you know, a little bit of what WBD needs. So, you know, I could see a WNBA on TNT package performing well. They, of course, already have a lot of the talent necessary to make that work. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. I kind of like that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, John, one last topic for today. Let's move on to the soccer viewership for Fox. A couple big numbers coming from the Euro finals and the Copa America finals. Why don't you lead us through those?
Yeah, well, I mean, the numbers kept coming in bigger and bigger and bigger, right? so at first it was like, well, it was 11 million, no, it's 12 million, but I have it now at 13 million for the Copa America final. That's match window only. The Fox match window number came to me via Fox Wednesday morning at 6.84 million, including FS1. Fox put out a number on Tuesday that was the full telecast, including pre-match, and it was only Big Fox. So when you just go to the match itself and include the FS1 first half simulcast, 6.8 million, add in 6.35 million on Univision, you've got 13.2 million. I mean, come on, that surpasses any game of the NBA Finals. That's, you know, that's a massive number. And for Copa America is not a tournament that I think anyone really cared about to any extent prior to this year. And I know it was in America, but, you know, I mean, it's just, it's been in America before. So, I mean, I was shocked by how well it did.
I don't know if that's necessarily true that no one cared. I'm sure. You know, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm sure that Copa America has drawn pretty large Spanish language viewership for a while. You know, it's only about once a decade or so that the U.S. men's national team is able to play in it. That, of course, is a big draw. And then, of course, you had Argentina in the final. And who knows, this could have been Lionel Messi's last game in an Argentina uniform, at least in a major competitive tournament. So there is definitely some intrigue on that front as well. And of course, you know, you just have the growth of soccer more generally. I think Fox did a really, you know, spectacular job programming in between the Euros and the Copa, built a lot of momentum in the lead up to these finals, and you know, it paid off with two pretty large final viewership numbers.
Yeah, I will just say, you know, to my point about Copa not really resonating. I mean, obviously it has done well on Spanish language television, but even that has been modest. 3.5 million for the 2021 final, 2.7 million for the 2019 final. If you go back to 2016, which I believe might have been in the US, that's 6.2
Yes.
million, that's higher. But I mean, even on Spanish language television, we're not talking about some massive hit here. I mean, compared to the Gold Cup, compared to obviously the Euros. I think Copa America has been pretty lower on that list. So that's kind of where I'm coming at it from with that. I mean, so to turn that into 13 million, it's amazing. Obviously, the Euros did very well as well on both Fox and Univision. You know, I was not aware that the final aired on Univision because I thought all the matches were airing on VIX, VIX. But the final did air on Univision for the Euros and got 3 million. You add that to the over 7 million that Fox had, and you're talking about over 10 million for the Euros as well. It's amazing. 10 million and 13 million for soccer on a Sunday in July. Those are figures that are difficult to reach in 2024. Here's one question, real quick. Why in the world hasn't the NBA sold, or any of these leagues sold, a Spanish language deal to Univision or Telemundo? The NBA actually, if you go way, way back, had a deal with Telemundo for weekend afternoon games. I remember because ABC was so stingy with its Sunday schedule. They'd have like five Sunday games a year that if you wanted to see a Knicks game on a Sunday afternoon, you had to watch Telemundo because Telemundo was airing it. That did not last very long. To me, I mean, Univision versus ESPN Deportes. Come
Yeah,
on,
it
there's no
seems like a
comparison.
no-brainer.
And you can make a little extra money that way. Certainly for baseball. Can you imagine what a World Series audience would look like if it was Fox and Univision and not Fox and Fox Deportes? My goodness, I don't get it. There's got to be some reason, like total disinterest on the part of Univision or something. There's got to be some reason why those deals are not being struck.
Maybe it's some hubris between, you know, ESPN and Fox thinking their, you know, respective Deportes channels actually can, you know, resonate with the Spanish language audience. Most of which probably, you know, these are channels that are on super high tiers of a cable package, right?
Yeah, well, Fox and ESPN Deportes, yeah.
Yes,
Univision is
exactly.
on broadcast television.
Exactly. So yeah, you're getting right to my point that, you know, the reach of Univision, of Telemundo, is just much, much greater in those communities than, you know, a very high tier cable package would be.
And it's a threat. It's a threat because if you don't like the Fox coverage, you just watch Univision, right? And
Yeah.
I don't think Fox wants that for baseball or ESPN wants that for the NBA. So that might explain it. I wonder if the NBA deal with NBC will include Telemundo. I mean, it's got to. Telemundo is NBC's Spanish language property, Telemundo Universo. That'll be
I haven't seen
interesting.
it. Yeah, I haven't seen any reporting on that, but yeah, that will be interesting. All right, John. I lied. We'll do one more quick topic here, and that is the departure of Skip Bayless from FS1's Undisputed. I have no idea why they would do this, John. But you know, why would they? He draws so well.
Yeah, the ratings for that show are so good. It's about time. Fox made a very dumb bet a long time ago that they could, you know, compete with ESPN. And actually, it wasn't a dumb bet because as much as I dislike Skip Bayless personally, they were getting much better numbers than they currently are for years with Skip and Shannon Sharpe. And that show did make FS1 relevant, I mean, relatively speaking, for a number of years. But, you know, Skip obviously, you know, drove out Shannon, and that was it. And you know, you probably won't see a lot of ratings coming out about Undisputed in the future, but obviously, you know, the numbers were not great, and you're paying Skip Bayless this amount of money, and people aren't tuning in. I mean, what's the point? You can't I mean, eventually you can't just rely on, hey, we're getting YouTube hits. I mean, YouTube is not the same as linear television. So, you know, I know that that show does okay on YouTube, but come on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're at a point. I mean, well, one, I just don't think Skip Bayless resonates with the audience that is watching morning sports debate television anymore. You know, the format got kind of wonky in its last iteration with Undisputed, but I honestly, John, I just don't really think there's room for a second morning debate show at this point, especially with how ESPN has kind of captured most of the talent that people want to see. They have Shannon Sharp, they have Stephen A. Smith, you know, they have their stable of NBA and NFL, you know, talking heads. So people have familiarized themselves with First Take. They hang on Stephen A. Smith's every word. And Skip Bayless kind of became a caricature of himself in these last few years. People don't take him seriously. So this was a long time coming.
Yeah.
It's honestly surprising the show lasted as long with Skip Bayless as it did, considering the pretty putrid viewership over the course of the last year or so.
Yeah, and let me say this. Skip was a victim of Awful Announcing said this, he didn't evolve. And that's correct, because Skip is still in 2005 mode, where so much of sports media was a sports writer of a certain age castigating everyone and talking about how terrible they were. Stephen A. does some of that, but the reality is that what people seem to like is the boisterousness of a Stephen A. and a Shannon Sharp. They're actually not looking for someone who just says, hey, this guy stinks. This guy's really bad. Look how bad this guy is. You know, that's that Jay Mariotti stuff from 2005 that really is responsible for all of Skip's success, that era. But that's no longer what people are into. He did not make that adjustment. People want to be entertained. You know, they want to be entertained. And Skip being kind of nasty and insulting everybody, that was something everyone was into in 2005, not just on mainstream TV, but in the blogs too. But it's not 2005 anymore. I don't know if anyone's noticed. That was 19 years ago. And Skip never moved on with the times.
All right, John, I think that's a good place to wrap up today. What do we have on tap for next week?
Well, obviously, I would imagine that by next week, we'll have a lot more knowledge about what will happen with the NBA's media rights. So looking forward to that. And anything else going on in the industry as the Olympics approach as well. So we'll be back with more stuff on the SMW podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.